So we have Gail Martin and Kevin Popovich, who have kindly agreed to come here and talk to us about this. So without any further ado, I would like to turn it over to them.
Thank you.
Before we get started, are there any questions that you just are really, 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 really anxious to get answered? Anybody, raise your hands. Right. So questions are good. All right. Let's start with your question. Because quite honestly, there's a million things that we can tell you, and I know we have a short allocation of time. So what do you say? We'll try and get some answers out?
Well, and I think I've got a question for everybody here, which is, what do you want to market on Facebook and Twitter? Are you trying to market a book, a small business, a nonprofit, a product? That would help narrow it down a lot, because there are a million different ways we could take this. Yeah. A nonprofit, okay.
All right, any other nonprofits? Let's get a kind of sampling, okay?
How many people want to market a book or some kind of video or something like that? Okay, we've got some authors. How about a small business? Okay, well, we've got our three big categories here.
And if I may,
other websites.
Okay. After you.
You want to market other websites, or you want to talk about websites other than Facebook and Twitter?
No, I want to market.
You have a .com.
Okay. Cool.
I'd also like to know the splits, if the difference between products and services. If you have a product, raise your hand, please. Right? And if you have services, raise your hand. Okay. Now put both hands in the air. Go like this. There you go.
Sorry. Do the wave. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So at least we have a better idea of the things
we
do.
We do indeed. Why don't you say a little bit about yourself and your expertise, and then I will, and then we can get started.
Are you sure? You know, the way that they taught us is ladies go first.
All right. Well, I'm Gail Z. Martin. I write the Chronicles of the Necromancer fantasy adventure series, Summoner, The Blood King, Darkhaven, Dark Ladies Chosen, coming in February, The Sworn. But I also write nonfiction marketing. That's been my day job for 25 years. My MBA is in marketing. I own my own marketing firm. And so I have two new marketing books out this year, which talk a lot about marketing on Facebook and Twitter. One is especially for authors, The Thrifty Author's Guide to Launching Your Book Without Losing Your Mind, and 30 Days to Social Media Success. That's coming out September 20th. So both of them speak very much about the topic that we're here today for.
That was a good intro.
Thank you.
All right, I'll see how I can follow that. Such a nice intro. My name is Kevin Popovich. I'm the founder and communications director of Idea House. I'm the author of Satellite Marketing. Google it. And my book will be coming out in January, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yes.
Enough time. My company helps businesses communicate to their markets, no matter what their markets are. The net is we help our clients figure out what to say and how to say it. Over the last 20 years, we have done all types of communications. Social media is hot and heavy, so the last 5 years, my particular focus has been in that arena. My undergrad is communications and psych. My master's is multimedia technology. I'm working on a doctorate in instructional technologies. And I handle the account that you see off to your left, Stylin' Online, the internet's largest retailer of pop culture t-shirts, which you can find in the Marriott Marquis, the very large, colorful booth. Plug for the client in the front here. And what we help our clients do with social media is build a social media platform. So as much as we're talking about Facebook and we're talking about Twitter, the bigger picture is all of social media. So that's what I help my clients do.
Well, and I think... Absolutely. And I'll have cards up here for afterwards. I'm sure Kevin will too. You can find me at GailMartinMarketing.com for the marketing side of this. And I think one of the significant differences here is Kevin will do it for you. I'll teach you how to do it for yourself. So that's going to depend on where you are on your life cycle of your product or your service in terms of whether you've got the extra cash to pay somebody to help you or whether you're bootstrapping it. And we have another person joining us.
Hi, I'm Aiko Rex. I've done it for myself, sort of.
Kind of. I'm trying to do it for myself. I am the director of Doom at Dark Overlord Media. I work with Scott Sigler, and we created an imprint and a brand around him and his Galactic Football League books, using mostly social media to fund our publishing and marketing plan.
So there's a little bit about us. It seems like there's some natural divides between the questions that we will address today. I believe the purpose of any good panel is to try and make sure that we get your questions answered and that you have some actionable items when you leave here that can make a difference in your social media platform. With that, I'd like to open it up for questions. And please, if your question is directed to somebody in particular, please let one of us know, and we can make sure that we respond accordingly.
Okay, I don't think my question is directed at anybody in particular, although I would like to know, Gail, how I buy this Launching Your Book book.
quickest way is probably on Amazon.
Okay.
It is in stores as well, but you can find it on Amazon. And the 30 Days to Social Media Success, you can pre-order on Amazon, and it'll be in Barnes & Noble, Borders, and FedEx office come September 20th.
Okay, so I think this might answer your question as well. I have a website, and we actually started our website overseas, so I've been out of the country for a couple of years. And we spent a lot of time and effort loading videos and loading pictures and putting content in it. And then in the last couple of years since we've been back, we didn't get this question a lot overseas, but everybody asks us if we're on Twitter and Facebook, which is great and kind of alarming because we spent so much time on this website, nobody goes to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I have twofold. One is we did Facebook, and then we found out we were in the wrong place. We needed to have a page rather than a group. And to make that transition has been weeks of pain because you had to rely on them to take everything down. And then secondly, we opened Twitter, and then we used a phone number, and they said, oh, but you're now tied to this and that. And how do you get everything linked together? That's my question.
Well, I think, you know, one of your bigger strategies before you get to how to link it together, because linking, it's easy. I think the strategy call that I see a lot of businesses make mistakes with is they have a website, okay, any website. And historically, it has been put up a site and they will come. You remember the big dream with the website? You know, take your business online and your customers will come, and you know, it can be virtual. Well, it never really panned out that way, did it? Right? So then, you know, SEO came, or like, you know, let's trade.
It did.
All right.
It did in Europe and Asia, but not here. When we came back to the States, in Asia, everybody came. When you came back to the States, the first question everybody wanted to know is, do you have Facebook?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to is there are two big decisions. Either take your prospects wherever they may be and make them go to a new place, or go find the conversations that they're already having about your product and service and join those. And I find the latter to be much easier.
It's much easier to go where people are already congregating than stand out in the middle of a big open field waving your arms going, come
right
over here. The biggest question that I get all the time is from small businesses or authors or service professionals who say, everybody said I needed to be on Facebook, so I signed up. I'm on Facebook, now what? That's even one of my chapter headings. And the idea is that Facebook and Twitter should be a way to extend the conversation, to educate, to inform, but to have a dialogue with your with the people who are interested in your product or service. Your website is kind of like your brick and mortar store. People can go there, they can learn a lot about you, but it's harder to have a conversation. Facebook and Twitter is all about creating that conversation, inviting people to events, making it interactive, and reaching out. It's like a 24/7 networking event.
Mm-hmm.
So then let me ask you this, I'm sorry. Based on that, what we do is we cover conventions all over the world. And we do a travel, so we talk about travel. How do you have that conversation?
Oh, that should be happening naturally. If
yeah.
you're going
we
to
are,
these conventions.
We are, but not everybody's coming to the site in America like they did in, yeah.
Well, you want to cross-reference it. Have the links to your social media sites on your website, on your business card, all the
right.
ways that you,
and,
links.
And if I may add to, you know, repurpose your content across
yeah.
your social media platform.
Right.
One of the big mistakes I see with video is everything. Oh, well, I'll do a video and we'll put it on YouTube. Well, great. The only people that are going to see that is the people that are on YouTube. What about the Facebook people? What about the Twitter people? Because they are separate communities. Now, you talked about linking. You can set it up that, you know, one feeds the other.
RSS.
Or even just like a simple like API or Facebook Connect or something that allows them, cue the music, that allows them to share. So you can set it up as a repeater, right? So what you put on your Facebook wall repeats at Twitter, and you can feed that into your LinkedIn profile. So you can set that up. But they don't forget, they are distinct communities.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're going to want to break Twitter out from Facebook.
And I'll say that it's super easy on Facebook to link it to Twitter. But part of the thing that you keep asking is, how do I link them together, and how do I have people start having that conversation? And the reality is, if your website is about conventions all over the world and it's a travel-ish log sort of thing, there's a blog on it too, there are people who are doing that content. And And I think of Twitter and Facebook sort of as doors and windows to you. And so you can't simply, I mean, you could go to TubeMogul, you could set up an RSS feed, you could do all these things so that you put it one place and that same content heads everywhere. But it's not going to benefit you, like you seem to be finding, just to have a Twitter page and just to have a Facebook page. You have to actually be at some level interactive, because they are distinct communities, and there's some people who like to go through the front door, and there's some people who like to look out the window, and there's and all of those people are still looking, as long as they're still looking at you, you have to be looking at them at some point.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, with all the apps that exist, especially on Facebook and LinkedIn and a number of the other social media platforms, what you put on YouTube, you can add to those pages, so you can make it very multimedia. You can have your Flickr pictures, you can have your audio, you can have your video, you can give people a virtual con experience for the people who wanted to go and couldn't, or the people who went and want to see if they're in your photos. That's a great way to get the conversation going. But you can also feed these things into your homepage on your website. For example, on my Gail Martin marketing page, I've got my blog and my Twitter feeding right into the central part of my website. Now, that does a couple of things for me. First of all, if people want to read the whole posts, they now know I have a blog and Twitter, and they can go out and they can do that. It's also perpetually refreshing the content on my website, which is boosting me with the search engines. And it helps people get a fresh sense of what I'm doing and where I'm going. And by the way, while you should be the person writing all the stuff for your social media, you don't have to be the person posting it. Mm-hmm. I have three different virtual assistants who all help me, or I would never get my books written.
Maybe you can send one of them over, and I get my book and finish them. Another thing, I wanted to make sure everybody gets questions going on, is how many people, I'd like to know, currently have a fan page that they're responsible for? Okay. How many people wish they had a fan page they were responsible for? Okay. So what I thought may be helpful is some things that they can do immediately to make an impact on their Facebook page. And one of the things that I encourage all of my clients do, and I encourage you to take a look at, is the process, right? We all are probably responsible for sales in one capacity or another for our company, right? So imagine your sales process, right? When somebody comes to Facebook, right? Well, I'm already in there and I'm trying to find, you know, what's the first thing that they see, or the first thing that you think you want them to do when they come to their fan page? Well, mechanically, they're gonna, if you don't do something about it, what do they hit, right? I find your fan page, I come in, what do I see? Answers from the audience? The wall, right? You see the it says the wall tab, okay? By default, that's where it goes, all right? We, on every one of the pages that we do, we add an FBML tab, and it's welcome. Right, and then in your settings, we set it so now when anybody comes that isn't a fan, there's a welcome page, right? Because you never know what happens to be on that ever-moving wall when they come in. So you can roll the dice on, hey, when that prospect finally does come and checks out my page, I hope it's something that's good. Or you can put a big shiny graphic that's kind of a bit of an ad, a bit of a, hey, this is what you get. This, you know, something that continues either from your Facebook ad or some other marketing that said come to my site. It says, hey, welcome, our business does this. We have a bunch of fans and we're all into this, and this is what you get. We hope you like our page.
The other thing that you can do very easily with social media is think of whether you're selling a product or a service, you've got a sales funnel. How many folks have heard the term sales funnel before? Okay, sales funnel, if you picture, you know, the big tornado that sucked up Dorothy and Toto, one of those, okay? Big lip at the top, little tiny thing at the bottom, exactly.
Visual aids.
Yes, so up at the big rim are the people who have just heard of you. They might know your name, they might have gotten your website, but they really don't know much about you. Down at the bottom are your ideal clients, the people who are wanting to purchase frequently from you or purchase expensive things from you. Most of the time, you don't go to somebody's website for the first time and sign up for a $1,500 coaching package. You might want to read an article. You might want to take a three download mini course. You might want to listen to an audio.
Reviews.
You might want to see reviews. So that creates your sales funnel. You want to give people some things for free at the top, and then something a little more expensive, maybe like a book or a download, and then something more expensive like an intermediate course, and then at the bottom is like your one-on-one coaching or whatever your big money product is, to lead your ideal prospect down that funnel. So Social media is great for providing links to articles, excerpts, product demos, coupons,
even
specials just for your for your fans, reviews, other sites. All of that helps pull people down your sales funnel. I even, you know, it's a gimmick, but it works. A couple times a year, I tweet a chapter from the new book that hasn't been released. Now, you can read the whole chapter in one place somewhere else, but if you really can't wait, you can read it 140 characters at a time on my Twitter page. And that's a media event for me.
Yeah, and I think that delivery, there's a difference between making a sales call and making a help call. Mm-hmm. And I like what you suggested, because those things help your prospects. And what cumulatively they do is build your brand equity and your social capital, right? Google social capital, mm-hmm. right? It's why they like you. It's why they come back. It's why they do that referral of to the friend on Facebook, hey, you got to check out this site. I found this author. She's a genius.
And like 80% of the people may come by and just grab your freebies, just like at a trade show, everybody goes and grabs the chocolate off the table. But it's that 20% that has the ability to be your ideal prospect. Mm-hmm. They're the ones you want to lead down the funnel. They'll get the free chocolate, and then they'll come back for the conversation.
I also think there's a couple of things to step back a little bit about from a very practical sense that seem in our case, it's scottsigler.com and at Dark Overlord, and in our case, where we are selling a very tangible product, but the only way we sell the product is if we sell the brand. Mm-hmm. And the only way to sell the brand, in my case, the brand is one guy. It's one writer who has no voice. He's supposed to be here. He lost his voice from screaming at 1 a.m. last night, I guess. He's not here.
Go figure.
So much for branding. In the case of styling online, there can't be. This is a simple, simple thing, but I'm going to tell you because people miss it a lot. It's Facebook, people. So if you're styling online, there's no face. That kind of thing is what you do, because that is the face of your company. Mm-hmm. If you are a person and what you are selling is a person, I really genuinely think if it's Facebook, you need to see your face.
Agreed.
And let's make a distinction here between personal pages and mm-hmm. fan pages, okay?
Right. And don't misuse them.
And don't ever mistake the two, okay?
Right.
It is perfectly acceptable if you, as a person, want to have a personal page where you share pictures of your pets and your children and your grandbabies and your vacation photos. Mm-hmm. Make it a personal page. Lock it down so that only people you admit who know you can get there. Make sure it's truly only people you know, and chat about your cats and dogs as much as you want, but keep it off your professional page. Mm-hmm. On your professional page, it should be everything that lends credibility to you. Credibility as a nonprofit. By the way, nonprofits are some of the first and best adopters of social media. Mm-hmm. It should be about your products. It should be about your brand. Mm-hmm. It should be about your events. It should be about everything that you want to tell them professionally, and they don't need to see your vacation pictures or your children's pictures, and they really don't care.
Right.
And I will add also, if it's your there are very different uses and correct uses of all these social media tools. In our case, I'm talking about an actual mm-hmm. one brand, one person sort of thing. And for us, even on the professional page, there's a certain amount of I'm going to call it sass. Like the personality,
sure, have a personality
of the, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's different. I agree with you. That's quite different than this is my personality and these are my pictures from my trip to Cleveland. Maybe you do one picture from Cleveland.
Unless
or
your trip to Cleveland was to a trade
exactly.
show, and so you throw in a couple of tourist pictures
or related right. to the new book or
yeah.
you know whatever. If
right.
there's a reason for it to be there for everyone to see because it value adds to your brand.
Right.
And then for me, I also think if you are a person on Twitter, you need to be a person on Twitter. You need to actually mm-hmm. have a little bit more. And this mm-hmm. is what you were saying
right.
earlier about they are different things.
Right.
You need to have a personality. This is different than crabbing because you got rear-ended or you know, crabbing right. because now the rent went up $200 in your office space or something. There's a little bit of spice like that you can do, but you have to mind your brand even if you are a personal Twitter page as well, because that's what that's about.
If you have multiple personalities, truly, if you
true,
have
actually.
Multiple, true, if you have multiple products and services, then you need to have multiple social
right.
media personalities.
Right.
So I have a Twitter account called Gail Martin PR. I tweet all kinds of marketing tips and links to cool marketing stuff and marketing advice on that. I don't talk about my fiction. I have Gail Z. Martin. That's where I talk about my fiction and my con appearances and when I'm going to be in bookstores, and I tweet all of that. And I'll be tweeting the video blog that I do from this convention and my Flickr pictures. On Facebook, I'm the Winter Kingdoms for my fiction. I'm Gail Martin and Dream Spinner Communications. These are all separate fan pages. I'm the Thrifty Author, and I'm 30 Day Result Guide, because I don't want to try to have all five of those conversations on the same page.
But I'm going to guess that on all of those Facebook pages, there's a way to get back to GailMartin.com.
Yeah,
right, and that's the key, because if I hear, gosh, I need that, I heard that Thrifty Author thing, I need to go look that up, and I like it, we all naturally mm-hmm. trend towards what we like. Right. So if I like that, then I want to find out more, and you have to make sure that even though they're separate, right, there's a link back to getting to.
And my virtual assistant loves it because I just doubled her hours.
Those people, we're going to get a question just quickly. Those people that have fan pages, I'm interested into how many fans you have. More than 1,000, raise your hand. More than 1,000 fans? Boy, this is going to go faster than I thought. We currently have 221,000 fans on Style Online. Most of that had been built over the last 4 months. So we'll share out a little bit of that. You had a couple questions in the back. I'm sorry, the very patient. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What's the welcome page called when you said on Facebook?
You want to go into your apps and search for FBML. And it's basically add a blank tab. You can name it whatever you want, and it's you can pop any kind of HTML code, and you can even use like iframe in there too.
Now this is where I'm going to be a bit of a heretic, because while 220,000 fans is great, that may not be the right goal for you. Let me put it to you this way: if you put a big sign out there that says free beer inside, you are going to get a capacity crowd, but that doesn't mean any of those people are interested in buying your product. They came for the free beer, and that's it.
Or you understand your segmented market, and I have something for everybody, and I can build a quality-filled 220,000 page.
And that may be absolutely right for your product,
right,
but there may be other products and services and niches that serve a very small targeted mm-hmm. group. And if you get 90% of the 100,000, if you get 90% of the 10,000 people in this world who are really into that, you own your market, but there may not be 220,000 people in your market.
Do you have a question? I feel like I'm in the wrong conference. I have a business. I have a website. I really want you guys to give me the basics. I feel like you're building the empire, and I'm still back here trying to put the foundation down. So I would really appreciate, like, how do you even start? What should you look for? 10 things to pre-plan. This app that you just gave is phenomenal for a welcome page, but you're, like, way ahead of me. Maybe I'm just in the wrong place.
No.
That's actually what this will walk you through one day at a time, half an hour a day.
All right.
They're not out yet.
Perhaps we can give them a couple suggestions that we think,
sure,
right? So obviously the welcome page, I think, is mission critical on conversions. When we were running different promotions and advertising, we saw a large increase in conversions to fans with the addition of the welcome page. The other, and this is a pet peeve, right? You talked about make sure that you have a picture, mm-hmm. right? Have a picture, but that big shiny picture in there, notice it's much larger than probably most of your profile pics, right? You know, when most everybody takes the obligatory square picture and uploads it and just lets Facebook do it, right? That's 200 pixels by 600 pixels high. It will give you that real estate if you make that JPEG that big. Take advantage to use that billboard, right? That's the thing we talked about. Mm-hmm. It's your branding. It's that first impression. If you're a person, put a face with the name, right? That's that first impression, right? And that's one of the biggest things, I think, besides the welcome page, that will help you make those proper impressions that leads to the conversion.
And I'll give you what I truly talk about as the absolutely first thing you need to do is you do need to have a social media strategy. It's not just going out there and slapping up a bunch of profiles. You need to know your audience well enough. First of all, you need your number one business goal that this social media is supposed to support. You need to know who the audience is that's going to help you achieve that business goal, and what message you need to be giving to that audience to help them help you achieve that business goal. Then you need to figure out which social media platforms those people are already congregating on. Maybe they're on LinkedIn. Maybe they're on another site. they're not everywhere, so you need to only be where they are, or you're wasting your time and money.
I agree.
And then you need to look at how you can integrate social media with all the other marketing that you're doing to reinforce and leverage it, because social media isn't a magic bullet. But if you're running a special event, you should be talking about it on social media and posting the pictures before, during, and after, and having people at the event with flip cams and digital cameras and tweeting live from the event. That promotes your event before, during, and then it extends the life after. But the event is still important to do. You can't just drop all the rest of the marketing to do social media.
And I'll step even further back, well, just after the your social media strategy. If you haven't done this already, your website, if your name, if the name of your business is Happy Feet, your website needs to be happyfeet.com. If happyfeet.com doesn't exist because of that stupid movie, then you have to do Happy Feet Store, Happy Feet Online, something like that. You need to name your homepage who you are, not anything else. Who you are and as much of what you can do in a short, memorable way.
Yeah, and that consistency across those platforms, yeah. I think, is it's optimal. It's not always available, but it's optimal.
And I think you need to have a Facebook page, and I think you need to have a Twitter page if you are marketing in the United States. Those are the things I and this is a personal opinion, but I think Orkut, I think LinkedIn, I think MySpace, you can do all that if that's where your market lies, but everyone is going to start somewhere, and most people will start with Facebook and Twitter.
And YouTube.
And YouTube, oh,
and
for sure YouTube.
LinkedIn works completely different. Facebook is like a 24/7 networking luncheon. Twitter is like a cocktail party where you move from person to person, you have short little conversations. LinkedIn is like a qualified networking referral where you met somebody and you said, hey, let's sit down and see if we can swap some resources. So on Facebook and Twitter, you're trying to meet as many new people as you can. On LinkedIn, that's not okay, but LinkedIn can be really powerful for strengthening the professional connections you already have to other writers, to publishers, to agents, to other businesses. You use it differently.
Yeah, I agree. Now, when we talk, we're talking process and strategy. I'll do a search for satellite marketing. My website is ideahouse.com. I have information. There's slidecast and our slidecast speeches. If you guys want besides, of course, purchasing the books, if you want to try and figure out your own process, right? And everybody's got a process, right? So satellite marketing is a 5-step process that addresses the same critical issues, and that's why the reason that I bring it up is I think those issues are important too. You just have to figure out a process, right? Something comes first, something comes second, because the biggest thing that I see when people that are new to this that are trying to do it, it becomes a time sink. It's like, oh, I had to do 10 hours on Facebook. What the hell did you do on Facebook for 10 hours, right? As it relates to your business. And if you're burning that much time, you probably don't have a plan. You're probably figuring out as you go. And you probably don't have a communication schedule, right? It says that I'm gonna do this thing at this time, and this time, this at this other time, and this at this other time. So for all of our clients, we know 30 days out what we're gonna do and what time we're gonna do them, because it keeps you on track for hitting that I need to do a sales thing, I need to do a marketing thing, I need to do a branding thing, I have an event that's coming up. Now you can either wing it and think that you did good at the end of the month, or you can go back to that checklist and say, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that, and it's much, much more efficient.
Well, and that's why I honestly structured the book to be 30 minutes a day for 30 days, so that you can carve out that time no matter how busy you are, because I'm betting you can find 30 extra minutes if you just watch a little less TV, read a little less online news.
And do you get people to say that they don't have time to do this?
Oh, absolutely. But the goal is that if you can just set aside 30 minutes a day for 30 days, your strategy will be in place, and then you'll still need to allot some time to keep it fresh and keep it going, but you can either continue to build it out or build something new. It doesn't have to be a 10-hour marathon. It shouldn't be.
And forgive me for stepping all the way back, but this is specifically what you asked for. There is, for me, and 30 minutes a day for 30 days will teach you what you need to know to move forward. There is no way you can set it up to run itself. That is not how social media works. You can set it up so that it works with you or with your fan base or with your customer base or whatever. There are ways to make it less time intensive once you own it and once it's real. There is no way for you just to say, I'm going to set up this name and that Twitter, and then people will come. That is not how social media ever works. So you actually have to do the investment. And if you can't afford 30 minutes for 30 days, you can't afford social media. But the problem is I don't think you can live without it either.
We've got another question over here.
Yeah. Hi, I'm looking forward to reading your 30 minutes. Right now, okay, we have a website. It's a webcomic. We have a Facebook page for it, and we also have a Facebook fan page for it. We have a Twitter page as well. And we do all of our tunes through YouTube, so we sort of have all of those. But my biggest thing is, how do we get people initially, like, I get it, once you get some fan base, I know what to do with that, but how do you get them? How do I drive people to our website? I mean, we've got it on all of our stuff, but
so you throw, you're throwing a party and nobody's coming.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You know, one of the ways to do it is to start inviting people. All of these pages have, all of these sites have groups. Twitter has Twibes. Go out and find the groups and the Twibes that are talking about your type of subject. Join them, join in the conversation, and then invite people to come check out your site. Don't make it a salesy thing, but just say, hey, I see we're both interested in the same thing. Have you seen my site? Now you start to, you're not randomly friending everybody. You're not sending out one of those spam bots to just grab as many addresses as you can get. That's like the free beer sign. You're strategically finding people who are already talking about what you want them to be talking about and inviting them to come visit.
Right, like
so this is
like
a Twitter
all,
thing.
Like all the other fan pages,
thing.
For instance, all the other fan pages that your prospects are currently reading and participating in, find them.
Oh, so you poach people.
Well, you're not poaching. You're inviting
people. It's not poaching. The other thing you can do is
you're broadening their interests.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, and on Twitter, if you don't want to go out to twibes.com, go find the leaders in your industry, you know, the people that other people are following, and invite their followers.
You know, we
well, and I actually think, I'm sorry, I think it's actually probably easier than that. If you're a webcomic, are you following PvP? Are you following XKCD? Are you following Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal? And if you are, and they're following you, are you saying, hey, thanks so much, I dig your stuff? Are you building a conversation with the tastemakers? Because if you can do that, then you're starting to join the community. And if you're starting to join the community, then what happens is this. If I follow you, I can look and see who else follows you. Mm-hmm. I can look and see who you follow on Twitter. If you're not following, I'll tell you, for me personally, if you're not following anybody on, if you're following 800 people and 20 people are following you, I'm out.
Here's
so you have to be interactive and you have to be back and forth, because there are people like me who's like, I want to have a conversation with you. I do not want for you to tell me what to buy, what to think, what to feel, what to do. I want to have a conversation with you. So, you again, you have to be interactive in doing that, and you have to look at the tastemakers in your field and see what they're doing, and then you have to engage. You have to. You can't just say, I'm going to do what you do and steal your folks. You have to say, I dig you, I dig what you do, I'm moving on from there.
Has anybody experimented with Facebook ads?
We did.
Right? Yeah. Shame on you. Every one of you should be experimenting with Facebook ads. Facebook ads are a great way for, I keep thinking Twibes, is a great way to try to get to prospects who don't know you and don't have a friend that knows you. So for instance, Facebook ads, you can go through and say, you can promote something inside of Facebook or outside of Facebook. We find it much more successful to promote things inside of Facebook. Right, and the other thing that you want to do is, as you're filling out that the little wizard, because it is quite easy, so I challenge you to all take $50 and see what you can do with $50 on Facebook ads, just as a little experiment, right? Because you can get click-throughs for a relatively small amount of money, but the thing I like about it is that you can target, right? So if you're looking for people that are into comics, right? So you go through the little wizard and fill out the demographics. I'm one nationally. Here's my age demos that I think my prospects are well within, and you might be surprised where you really get your demos on comics, given that my biggest client is in comics. But you can also pick geographic area, and you can put the keyword in comics. And what it does is it goes to find everybody in Facebook that likes comics. That's the same thing that you're trying to do, right? So that's another very, very popular and current strategy in trying to build fan pages.
Why don't you say a little more about how they can control their costs on that? Because I think that's going to be one of the things that scares people off. They go there and they think, oh my gosh, there's no ceiling on this.
Right.
My bank account will be empty.
Before you move to that, clicks or impressions? I never know.
All right, it's a very good, because it is strategic, right? So we played with a number of things, and don't worry, we're not going to give the secrets to the kingdom away, right? But in speaking general, you can. There's for those of you who aren't familiar with advertising, you can. It's a cost per the impression, like, hey, I saw your thing, or it's a cost they charge you for when somebody clicks on your thing. Now, sometimes I've seen businesses who go for the clicks, but they know they're not going to get it. Why? Because I only pay you when they click on it, right? So they're getting millions and millions of free impressions, right? So there's one strategy. Now the other one is all I want is that impression. You're paying for that impression. So when you go in there, you have a decision to make. I want to pay you when I get a click, or I want to pay you every time that you serve up that ad, and I hope that somebody sees it. Well, how many times when we're on Facebook, you know, if you had to remember, the last three ads were down on the right-hand side. Would you remember that? Probably not, right? Now, if that is your subject matter, like one of our clients is a motorcycle repair service, right? So who has a Harley? No Harleys in the audience? All right, well, I assure you, if you did have a Harley, when you see that orange and black, right, that's like something goes off, right? So every ad for that client, orange and black, orange and black. So I don't care if you pay attention to that or not, you know, shiny bauble, orange and black, I look. And then a lot of times, then it's what the copy is, where now it's all traditional advertising strategy, right? You get a single image, there's a little headline, there's a call to action. You know, that's a lot of the success. So it's if it was mine, right, I would try and get the clicks, right? Because you want fans. So, and it's not that you're buying fans, it's that, hey, I have a proposition for you. I have content, I have people that are talking about things just like you. Follow my page, like my page, and I'll give you this content, and we'll have our conversations over here. So that's what I would challenge you to do. Take $10. And really, you'll be able to figure out what happens with $10, and just try this experiment, right? You try, if you're a local business, you stay local, right? The motorcycle place is in Wexford, Pennsylvania, right? 15090. I can pull just people in Wexford that say I like motorcycles, and I think the current click through on that, I think it cost me anywhere between 22 cents and 63 cents, depending, right, for somebody to like that client's page. Now, they're a small local business, so right now they have over 700 people, right? So it costs me, I think we put $10 a day for like 30 days. So for $300, they've identified 700 people that ride motorcycles in a short enough area that they would use my client's garage.
I'll tell you one other piece of this because we actually truly did an experiment with Facebook ads, and it was I'm doing this for 2 weeks, and it was super successful for us. Because you think, oh, but I'm all over Facebook. But the reality is you're not, trust me. But because it's huge.
500 million people.
Exactly. So you're not really, and it helps you identify without you having to go identify, because you're doing the work in the beginning. That said, where you direct them from there needs to be value adding for them. Mm. So if you eventually send them back to your fan page or whatever, and your fan page hasn't had a post in 2 months, that it's going to be ineffective for you. Even if you get a click through, what's going to happen is they're going to say, well, that might have been cool once. And they're not, so you need, your core thing needs to actually be value-adding for them when they get back to it, and that's part of the way that you keep them.
Well, and I want to pick up on something that Kevin said, and that is that, you know, all of us are doing national or international businesses. Some of you may be doing that also, but social media also works for local businesses. So think about this. If you're a restaurant, maybe you are just a one-location restaurant, but the people who are really your core fans want to know what your blue plate special is, what your salad of the day is, what your soup of the day is. Mm-hmm. If you've got an ice cream store or a coffee shop, same kind of thing. You can create that dialogue that's really valuable to the local people, and you can become a local hub by talking about local news and sponsoring local sports, and make it a local hangout on Facebook and Twitter. It doesn't have to be trying to reach the entire world if the entire world isn't your target audience.
And I think you can have multiple voices for that local business too, right? Because you have the, we have a new business that came into Del Mar, right? It's called Prep Kitchen. So there's the maitre d' who seats everybody. He's very, very personable. He remembers everybody's name, right? He's the face of the business. But then there's also the chef, and he's a somebody, right? And you want to hear that the chef just got this from the farmer's market and all those different types of things, right? And I agree with the specials every day. That stuff is easy. So don't just think that it's just the business that speaks, right? You can have multiple voices contribute to the messaging from the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to answer some of the nonprofit folks out there too, because I've actually just spoken to two nonprofit organizations on this. Nonprofits, first of all, love Facebook and Twitter and social media because it's free, okay? But it's also a great way to get people informed, and activated. So AARP has found that blogging and Facebook and Twitter is really effective for them, okay? If they can do it, you can do it. But think about this. You're able to let people know, hey, we're doing our volunteer event over at the Habitat House needs five more people who can come out on Saturday. Or Cradles to Crayons does a local school thing where they say the school on Second Avenue needs extra paper this week. Who can bring some? So it's activating your group and letting people know where the needs are. National Wildlife Federation has at least five different Twitter feeds for different programs and special focuses. So there are all kinds of ways you can use this. Online fundraising. And, you know, fundraising traditionally has gone for the millionaires, the big buck donors. The Obama campaign showed us that if a million people give you a dollar, you still have $1 million. So micro fundraising through the through social media is becoming more and more effective.
Did you have a question?
Right. Kevin mentioned also using YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question, my primary focus is making comedic videos, and I've got some success, 32,000 hits on a short video on YouTube.
That's decent.
Right, I won a contest.
I think the average is actually like 500.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sub-500.
And is what I want to do is make all of my comedic videos have you know, a significant amount of hits,
right,
and you know, essentially turn that into not only just a hobby but a business.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, it's a very broad question, but let's just talk about maybe first steps. What would be the first steps in doing that other than just more content?
How many total videos do you have, you think, or that you will have?
Eventually, I'm working it now to where I'll be able to do at least one a week.
Okay, well, that's a decent, like almost like a regular show,
right?
So we've recently started producing a show, I Am Stylin' Adventures in Pop Culture, and Stylin' Online does 20 cons a year, so we tape a lot of that stuff. We also do like Emmy's Gift Suite, we go to the Amazing Award shows and so on. So we started producing a show too. So I'm recently in a similar situation for you. We've been doing this about 6 months, and the go-to strategy has been, oh, put it up on YouTube and everybody will follow it. Well, that's great, but what about Vimeo and VO and, you know, and the other 250 other places that people watch video? What about any AOL people, right? AOL Video, right? Then there's aggregators, so places that go out. Netflix now is pulling internet videos in, Roku, Boxy. There's a lot more than just YouTube. So one of the things that I would suggest outside of once you create your channel, I'll assume you have a channel. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, for YouTube, when you create your profile, you can create a channel. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like My TV type of thing, and you can add graphics and colors and change the theme, right? So once you have a channel created and you have some content in there, now you're trying to get more eyeballs, right? So I would make sure that you are distributing that to more places than YouTube, because not everybody's there. Now, YouTube, you want to be, it's the second largest search engine, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure, you know, you've got the right words in the description, and you take advantage of the tags and all that compulsory smart stuff that they try to prompt you through anyway. But we started for our own show using, because we're Blip TV, for instance, and it's a distributor, right? TubeMogul, you mentioned, mm-hmm. another one, that's kind of the next level up. Now, we upload our show, which we do 20 episodes of con, different interviews and things. You upload it once, and it distributes it to currently 15 different people, 15 different sites, including iTunes. So now you have that efficiency from the production marketing side. Mm-hmm. All right, but now you have it in 15 different parties, not just one party.
Okay.
Right, and then the next thing, I think we'll do TubeMogul after that. But at every level, you learn a little bit more. So that's what I would suggest, because it sounds like you have a regular stream of content. Make sure that you're packaging the content how you want it to be perceived, that your channel's all polished up, and that you have some sort of activity towards that. But don't just rely on YouTube to get the video seen.
Plus, well, I think you also have to have some. You have to be somewhat analytical about the consistency of your product, mm-hmm. and the quality of your product, and if you're going to monetize that as your business, both of those things have to be good. So the video that has 30 some odd thousand views, if that's the only one like that, why is that the only one like that? And identify the things about that are unique among your own videos, and see if you can replicate those things. Is that the only one that has boobs in it? Maybe that's a hint.
We'll get boobs like after we start making money. So.
But those things, I think consistency and quality are important, and also looking at your comparators, your own videos as comparators, I think is useful too.
Well, and for the authors out there, everything that was just said also applies when you're doing author videos and book videos. If you're doing book trailers to promote your book and add some sight, sound, and motion, then you need to make sure that it's on multiple sites, not just YouTube. And it should be on your own sites. It should be on your Facebook. You should be tweeting it. Hey, I just created a new video. And you can tweet that more than one time. It should also be in your signature block for your emails. What's in your signature block?
That's a great
suggestion. Signature block on something as simple as your emails and your forum posts should have, at a minimum, your name, your website. And if you want people to find you on social media, give them your fan page address. Give them your signature YouTube video. Make it really easy for them to find you.
And I'm sorry, just real quick, and for Kevin, is this content on this panel going to be available online?
Actually, we've got a number of different recordings, so yes, it will be.
Okay.
My question is coming later.
I'm trying to bring up appropriate examples as we talk about this, and this is the areas that they're talking about as far as our profiles and all the correct information to put in there. Again, it's all really just a fill in the blank, and a lot of this you can repurpose from your website, from your marketing collateral, from your ads. All that content exists, and that's one of the easiest places to go to find those assets to make sure that you have the continuity in the messaging, that when they, no matter where they go, you know, you're using the same tagline, you have that similar logo. So you're building that brand consistency.
Kevin, can you, are you going to click on it? Could you go to YouTube/Scott Sigler? Because there's one other thing that might be useful to see here.
Yeah, it's not pulling up all the video, but we'll try it.
Yeah, and it's actually not the video that I'm interested in. /Scott Sigler, S-I-G-L-E-R. S-I-G-L-E-R. So this is Scott's channel. Oop, or not. Yeah, I can't really see it. And to speak about sort of consistency of branding a little bit, if this comes up. The most recent book that he has out is Ancestor, and the most recent book was last week. It's The Starter, but the Ancestor has a green cover and has. I don't actually need to see the video. I was just kind of making the point that there's a consistency about the channel and stuff. Yeah. And those things are super easy to change in YouTube once you find them. There, you have to go to your channel, you have to go to my videos, you have to do that. But this consistency in branding, you'll see over and over. One of the ways that we increased the number of views for the actual trailer for the book Ancestor was we had an Ancestor video contest. And you can do, we did a couple of things. You can do like a view thing, or you can do a create your own content thing if you have that kind of an audience. And
that create
sort of
your own content thing is something to think about. This is having people take pictures of themselves with your product someplace. There's a coffee shop back in Davidson, North Carolina, where the two owners are very much into mountain climbing. They have their clients take pictures of themselves holding the Summit Coffee brand name up on top of mountains and all kinds of exotic places that they travel. Have your fans show themselves using your product, traveling with your product, interacting with your product. What's cool about this is now you've got your customers effectively helping you do your marketing, because they're going to create a video. What are they going to do? They're going to send it to 500 of their closest friends and say, wow, look at the cool video I just created. They're helping you go viral, and they love it because you've invited them to participate.
And to make the point of consistency just a little bit more, the photo up there that is Scott's YouTube profile photo is his author photo. It's on the back of every book jacket. It's on his Facebook page. It is his Twitter profile. They change, and you change them because you live and breathe. And as you change them, That's a brand consistency. You're like, oh, I know that guy. What is it? Was he in jail? What is that background? Like, you know, and you kind of hear it in the back of your head, and so change it in all those places. Also, you can't really tell what that background all the way back there is. That's the book cover for the most recent book. That's there so that hopefully you're at Barnes & Noble, and you're like, why do I know that? And I know that that's a very small impression, but a very small impression on the second largest search engine in the world over and over and over again could be helpful.
Now, there's another new thing in YouTube, and we're just starting to experiment with this, is, you know, just like you can buy ads in Facebook, you can buy ads to promote a single video in YouTube. So it's, have you had any success with, or have you experimented with any of that yet?
We haven't done YouTube.
No.
Yeah, so that's how new it is. We haven't done anything with it yet, but it's something that we are going to investigate. I'll assume that the same sort of targeting that's available in Facebook that many of us who are in the business of buying advertising have come to expect, that we will be able to get those same types of thing in YouTube. So again, you're taking $10 to experiment in Facebook, take another $10 and see what happens in YouTube with that video. But I would try a couple different things. And really, even just, you want like $5, $10, just enough data to kind of get an idea of, hey, do I think that's going to work?
You know? I want to give you a low-tech tip here for social media, and that is I want you to think about collaborating with other people who are already reaching your market. For example, every year in the week before Halloween, leading up to Halloween, I do my Days of the Dead blog tour. Okay, I write about a necromancer. It's the week with Samhain and All Hallows Eve and Halloween and Day of the Dead, what's not to love, okay? I reach out to about 14 or 15 other bloggers, websites, and social media pages that are already reaching a similar target audience and say, hey, let's swap content. I'd like to be a guest blogger. You can be on my blog. Let's do a cross promotion. I'm going to be cross promoting with Midnight Syndicate this year. Okay? It's a perfect fit. It's wonderful music to read about a necromancer by. I listen to their music while I'm writing. What does this do? This exposes me to their fan base. This exposes them to my fan base. It's a win-win for everybody. What does it cost? It costs an email, maybe a couple of sample products. Say, hey, I'll give you a half dozen of my books if you give me a half dozen of your CDs. Now, it's not just you talking about you. It's other people talking about you. What I do on my blog tour, in addition to scattering content across all the sites, is I make sure it's unique content. Okay, it costs me a day or so to write this stuff. But now, everybody has a reason to trick or treat from site to site because they're going to get content they can't find anywhere else on those other sites. It drives up their traffic. It drives up my traffic. I, of course, send out press releases, post them on PR Web, post them on all the free press release
Pitch
sites.
Engine.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Send them out to the sci-fi media. So they're getting free publicity. And afterwards, I post everybody's link, and I say, hey, guys, look at every place we've been. So it's a win-win. What did it cost me? A little bit of time to create the content and the freebies, and the time to send out some emails to 24 people and say, hey, would you like to play?
And that scales up, too. Yeah, we just, our show secured ViewSonic as a sponsor. I thought same thing. I'm like, huh, if ViewSonic wants to like sponsor our show. And so now we've got corporate players involved in our new show. And then even that little 10 second bit at the end, you know, when somebody watches that first video and then you say, oh, big corporate sponsor, like, hey, I guess this show must be a something. They've got ViewSonic as a sponsor. So I'm a big fan of those partnerships. And you're right, most of the time it's sweat equity, right? Mm-hmm. And those entrepreneurs, solopreneurs types, we're deep in sweat equity. We don't have a lot of money, but what can you do in a couple hours? And that's why I'm such a fan of social media. I find it to be the perfect storm of all of the business communications that I've been involved in for 25 years. Question?
Yeah, my question, I have a product to market that's a little bit different. I actually market America overseas. I work for the State Department. And I try to get people to like America, which is actually kind of hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would assume some of your markets are a bit more receptive than others.
I did in Canada.
Thank you. Well put.
I'm not sure whether Jersey Shore is helping you on that or not.
Sort of not helping anybody on anything.
But one of the what I want to ask you, which is roughly analogous to a nonprofit situation, is sort of, okay, you know, if you're in sales, if you're in retail, it's kind of easy to say, well, okay, this was my sales this month, this is my sales next month. I'm obviously moving forward. But with in a nonprofit environment, you know, maybe you'll know when you hit it big, but on your way there, how do you know your strategy's working? How do you measure results? How do you evaluate? How do you measure results? Especially since a lot of the data you get is qualitative, it's comments, and how can you find a way to aggregate that to sort of summarize it? Okay, this month I did better than last month.
And there's a lot of different things to measure, right? When you're in a business, you're right. And as my dear client in the t-shirt business will say, he's concerned about selling shirts. Right. I'm also, as his communications director, I'm concerned about branding, public relations, engagement with our customers and our prospects with the inventory. There's a number of things to measure. One of the tools that that I like personally to use is called Unilyzer, Unilyzer. They're out of Texas, right? And it's a social media metrics measuring tool. Now you're going to find, if you Google social media metrics measurement or analysis, you're going to find a list of them, right? You'll find really big ones like People Browser, Jody Rich and those guys are measuring sentiment, right? They can tell you how much more your clients like you today, which is a whole other type of thing. But just the basics, right? Because a lot of what we're trying to figure out is, do I have more fans? Do I have less fans? Do I have more likes or less likes? Or, you know, did my followers go up? So on and so on. But it measures like your Google Analytics, all your social media profiles, and it's all in one place. And they boil it down through their algorithm, and it gives you one little happy number, right? It's their use score. I will say that we have the third highest use score for Stylin' Online in their entire database. And that's not why I'm plugging the tool. I'm plugging the tool because it's simple, it's easy, you can have it set up. I think they give you a 2-week freebie to go check it out to see if you like it ahead of time. But it gives you that base data because you know what the alternative is? Checking it every day to see how I'm doing. Now you're like a stock, you know, a penny trader, you know, selling penny stocks on the day. I gotta watch it, it went up, it went down. You can't do that.
Are you losing hours a day tracking your online marketing performance?
There you go. I love this guy.
And from a strategic perspective, let me also say that, you know, the really infuriating thing about clients is that they don't necessarily buy when we want them to. They have the nerve to buy when they want to. Isn't that amazing? And that means that it takes 7 to 30 touches, and I talk all about the magic touches in here, 7 to 30 touches to move someone from a prospect to a consumer. Mm. That's going to depend on when they get the trigger point that tips them into really being ready to purchase. So why all the things leading up to that point, you may be feeling this isn't getting me anywhere. People are just window shopping. People are just touchy-feely, but they're not buying. Yeah, have you thought about your own performance as a consumer? Mm-hmm. You look. Then you come back and you look again. And then you bring somebody back to look. And you go back to the website. And you take a look at the free sample. And maybe about the 7th or 10th or 30th time, you actually plunk down money. It's that process. Your clients are undergoing that process too, and that's why it's so important to have the brand consistency, to have the message out there, to encounter them in multiple places. But it's perfectly legitimate to feel like, wow, they came out here and they didn't buy.
Right.
No, you had to be there so that when they were ready to buy, you had the top of mind position. If you hadn't been there all those times when they were window shopping, they wouldn't have reached that buying point.
It went to your client.
Yeah. Right. I kind of see that as the first 1 to 6 times or whatever up to the 30 times, what they're buying is you. Is they're not buying a specific thing, but they're saying, so if I come 20 times to Gail's site, every time it's that I'm finding new things. I'm finding that it is consistent, and this is really that she does look and feel and smell and taste and touch just like she seems. Yeah, I'm going to invest. I'm going to buy in. So they're buying actually the you before they buy your product.
Well, and for an author, it's also really important to maintain that relationship with your readers between books, because most of my readers tell me they read between 150 to 200 books a year. Now, they may have loved my book last year when they read it, but it's now had a lot of mental competition before the new one comes out in 12 months.
When did the movie come out?
I'm working on that. how do I keep them engaged with me so that they remember to look for my new book, since they already like me? Right. Well, I give them a reason to stay in dialogue with me all year long. I give them extras and freebies and a relationship they can't get anywhere else, and I get to then remind them, hey, the new book's coming out in February.
I agree. Those numbers, keep those numbers in mind. You know, and 30 may seem like a lot. You know, for advertising lore, which I grew up in, it was your prospects see one of every three things that you throw out there, and you need to impact them 9 times before they're actually going to do what you wanted them to do. So, you know, that multiplies out to 27. Very close in that same realm. What the takeaway should be is that you're going to need to do multiple things. You know, I can't remember how many clients that said, well, we'll run one print ad and we'll see how it goes.
Right.
Did that once,
really,
didn't work for us.
Yeah. You know, Jesus can come down and touch that print ad, and it's not going to move that many people that you're going to see ROI on one thing, right? And so that's something really to keep in mind. Yes?
I just want to share one thing. My card so you say 30 times to get them to make it. Oh, I wish it was only 30.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I have a question for you then.
Yeah.
How do you look? You have a product. Should your product is a person?
Right? He's a writer, so there's a book.
My product is me too.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, that's true. I guess.
So what was the question?
The question is, how do you keep people? Well, I guess it's the same then. How do you keep people engaged in reading books?
Well, and there's one for Scott. There's one thing that is, I'm going to call it a gimmick. He's got a gimmick. He gives every single piece of his fiction away for free weekly on his website. You can go and download the audio. I'll tell you what, it is an enormous amount of work.
Yeah.
Because he's got to record it. It's got to be edited. It's got to be vetted every week, in and out. And in fact, I'm here today. I've no content up on the site today, and it's supposed to go up today. That's his gimmick. If you know it, if you know anything, if you've touched Scott Sigler in the online world, I'm in trouble. I'm totally in trouble now. What you know about him is he gives his content away weekly for free. That's his, I hate to say that, but that's his gimmick. One thing that you can't do, and we actually struggle with this all the time, we want to embrace the hot new thing every single time we figure out. Like what does Paulie D do on, or Philly D do on YouTube that he's got a bajillion people following him around all the time? He's super funny, but that I don't get it. And we try and try and try, and then we realized the thing we have is that gimmick. And everybody's got something. You have I don't know. You go, if you have a pet store, maybe you give out heart shaped biscuits or something like that. As long as you come back to that and you have the consistency and that kind of thing, I think that's value adding. And that's how we keep people, is that we say who we are and what we are, and we continue to do that.
Well, I mean, you can give away advice. You can give away a free report. You can give away
a thought of the day.
A thought of the day.
With an autoresponder.
A quote, a tip. You can steer people to other people's content that you found really helpful. You can give away a case study.
There's one of my clients I'll suggest. Go to Susan Clark's one of my clients. Go to fun-dementals.com. And what Susan has set up, she shares her comment from a different book. And it's basically like a word of the week type of thing.
Who's got the mic? Don't let that be your gimmick. That is not a gimmick.
Well, don't do that again.
That's what happened to your battery.
Right. So what she's done is she's, as you said, she's taken a little piece of that content, because she has a book with all these in, and we set up an autoresponder. And if you don't know what an autoresponder is, it's you send in an email and then it triggers something. But she has a series of autoresponders. So no matter where your trigger point, right, that first time that you've encountered Susan, you get number one. So if I go today, I get number one. If you go in 3 days, you get number one. And the point is, it goes on a schedule. So you get. I'm sorry. I like picking on the help. So what you do is so she has it. So she has gotten to the point where once a week she'll add. Right, but in over 2 years now, she's got 300, 400 in the queue. Right, so as new people come in, they have that first good experience, but it doesn't tax her like you're saying. It taxes your schedule.
Well, and you know, I give away content, not as much as Scott does, but I do give away a good bit of content. I also am known for video blogging from the cons that I attend, but I do two podcasts. I do the Shared Dreams Marketing podcast, where I invite other thought leaders and business people and entrepreneurs and business writers to come talk to me, and we share that advice. I also do the Ghost in the Machine podcast. Scott's been on my podcast. We mm-hmm. do. I invite all kinds of authors, paranormal folks, other people of interest to fandom, and we have a conversation. We let other people eavesdrop on. We talk about all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff. That's my gift to my readership and to my listeners, is that I get to come to cons and meet really cool people. I try to bring those people home with me in at least one fashion and introduce them to everybody else.
Do you take a lot of people from the cons?
I do, yeah.
I have one thing that I want to say before we run out of time to say it. If you are new to social media and building, which is terrible to say, but I'm going to say it, there are going to be people whose job apparently is to try and insult you, and there are, especially on YouTube, there are people who make comments that are going to test the thickness of your skin. They do it on your webpage, they do it on Twitter, they do it on Facebook, they especially do it on YouTube,
they do
it on WordPress, they love to do it on Amazon.
So you have to monitor your things.
You have to monitor it, yeah. And you have to just grow a thicker skin, because the one thing that you, Scott Sigler is a little bit braggadocious. He's got a persona that's a little bit swaggery and whatever, and people love that. They're like, yep, I am all in and I'm taking him down. And the reality is, you can go fight everybody on Amazon, but then you're not going to be doing your thing. You're not going to be creating content. You're not going to be building your social media. And so my advice is understand that's there and grow a thick skin.
Once you put yourself out to the public, you are a public figure,
exactly.
And people will take pot shots at you because in some sense they feel like you're not real anymore, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of like shooting at a cardboard cutout.
So off.
It depends.
Yeah. Right. Also, because we have 220,000 people, right? I mean, we got a big party going on. But I will tell you, statistically, we have maybe one or two a day that we have to remove, right? That it's either flat out spam or just something, especially when you throw out like Marvel versus DC, right? Vampires versus werewolves, right? And it gets heated discussions on our pages. But statistically, it's very infrequent, but we do monitor that. Now,
right.
As far as our, just to follow up with offering content in return for liking and eyeballs and traffic, right? That's what our whole show is about. That's how I Am Style and Adventures in Pop Culture came about. And we give it out on our fan page, and our fans are expecting to see that stuff. And the quid pro quo is, we'll give you a show, you engage with it and follow along, and we're believing that that's going to drive you to go to the site. And now we're seeing that. And in our statistics this week, our Facebook effort is our third largest driver of traffic to our website. Right.
I think
so. It's Google, and it's the direct URL itself, and then it's Facebook, and it's even above Yahoo, which is our shopping platform.
And just to follow on that question, I actually think that goes back to what Gail was saying earlier. You start with a social media strategy, and so say your strategy is, if you are selling stuff on my page, oh yeah, you're out. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you
right.
got going on.
Agreed.
You're not selling on my sales page. Some people don't care, but for us, it's you can't be insulting. You can insult Sigler, you can insult me, you can't insult the people who are there trying to be fans and trying
right.
to learn more.
Right.
No. Unless you're very clearly doing it friendly. We remove those. We remove very hateful. We remove like hate spam, stuff like that. And you can't sell your stuff on our
show. Do your fans self-police?
We have a handful of very, very, very broad virtual shouldered fans, and then they do that.
And
but.
10% of any social media site, 10% of the population posts 90% of the content.
Yeah,
that's
mm-hmm.
certainly true on Wikipedia and other
right.
sites.
Agreed.
And it's your page. You can set the rules. So what I say on my page is, play nice. This mm-hmm. is a page for polite, interesting conversation. We reserve the right to remove you if you're mean.
And flag, or block. I mean, we've reported a couple people. I mean, it's been very infrequent.
I don't want to be part of that conversation.
Right. Yeah, right here.
She's dying.
I know.
All right, well, let me tell you the second one first, right? And I will lead by example, right? Follow our show, do what we do. How about that? Because I know half of what we do, I know exactly what I'm doing. The other half, it's an ongoing experiment, right? So follow our show. We'll show you how we're using content to drive traffic to sell T-shirts.
100 years ago, department store millionaire Joseph Wanamaker said, I know that 50% of my advertising is wasted. I just don't know which 50%. Mm. And I think that that's been a truism in advertising. So there's a lot of trial and error. How frequently? Well, you want to make sure that if people come back to your page, it's different from the last time they were there. Mm. So it needs to be several times a week that you're updating. And realize that it doesn't have to be... Or more.
No, I know. I'm glad for you. Todd and I mentioned we do 15 a day.
Yeah, but the point is, it doesn't have to be all you.
It doesn't. Now,
and it doesn't have to be super deep either.
Right. No. Now, here's some of the things that I consider. Right. First of all, your audience. Right. Now, we have an international audience. We can't stay up and play the 24-hour clock. But so we play the national audience. Right. You know. So our first posts come on probably about 10 o'clock East Coast, because East Coast is up and West Coast is getting up. Right, and everybody, there's that first, like, I'm gonna check Facebook in the morning type of thing. And I want somebody to be in a place when they see a post from us that they can act on it, right? So there's that first morning one. The second one then, and from a minimum, I do something around lunchtime, right? Something, again, you're trying to play the curve, but how many people, even if they have your block, they're checking at lunch. I gotta check Facebook, And then I do something at night. Now, if it's a business, I do it within my business hours, like my motorcycle people. They do a 9:30 in the morning, 12:30 because people are on lunch, and then 4 o'clock because people can still do something about it. So that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about when am I posting, because that stuff comes in a wall. It's not as bad as Twitter, right? You blink and then that thing you just tweeted is down.
Right, and I was just about to say that what he's talking about is Facebook probably.
Right.
If you have your homepage, like one of the things that you can do, so if I agree, as much as you can handle Twitter, as long as you're actually engaging. You can't just say, like, buy my book. Exactly. Right. But if you're engaging, do that as much as you want. Facebook, right. Couple, 2-3 times a day. If it's your homepage, one of the things you can do is build, teach your fan base, teach your audience, teach the people who are coming back what to expect. So on scottsigler.com, they get content on Sunday. They get content on, they absolutely always get content on Sunday and Friday. There's always something there. And then on Wednesday, something else happens. He's got this little sort of, he calls it the blog of fuck yeah. It's stuff that just he likes. It's kind of a more expansive Twitter, Facebook kind of thing, and it's built into his page. So you get the if all you care about is his stories, you know when to find those. So you don't go every day going, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Is it? This guy never does anything. Right. You sort of know there's the Friday fix. You get something on Friday, and you know it's Sunday content. And
Text box under your profile picture. If it comes on a certain schedule, let them know ahead of time, so when they're checking out their page, it says, you know, they're not coming back and say, oh wow, these guys only do something a week. Well, it says under here, hey, we post a thing once a week, and there's, oh, I guess they're on schedule.
But in your social media, you can do more frequent and smaller things, and that's super value added.
And don't do it all at the same time. We had clients who's like, oh, we had 3 things to go today, so we check up on them, right? And they have it all 3 in a row at like 9 o'clock in the morning, right?
Well, the other thing is, think about, to keep from getting totally overwhelmed and great, I have a new job, it's creating content for my social media page. Think about how you can repurpose stuff that you've already created. Articles, blog posts, you know, a lengthy piece can become shortened into blog posts, can become shortened into tweets. You can reuse and repost information because there are people who didn't see it the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it in multiple contexts, so you don't have to be overwhelmed by the sheer volume here.
All right, we just got a question up. People want to know, how come we're not talking about MySpace? So you bad mouth it first, or shall I?
You should.
All right,
last year.
I got into, so 19, yeah. I hate MySpace, there I said it, right? And I have a friend, my friend Dimitri's in charge of music.
MySpace.
MySpace. This is what I think, this is why I'm so inflamed about MySpace, right? Since it's come, I think it's a horrible application. I think that they've given too much control to the user who knows nothing about interface design or presentation of content. I think that they have kept it so open source that how many 3.5 meg JPEGs do I have to see of your cat? Right, it's just it doesn't handle content well. It's slow, and it doesn't facilitate these conversations.
Right.
That, you know, not that Facebook is the end all, but Facebook does a great job of facilitating, of sharing, of inviting. I think they do a really good job of social media. I think MySpace does not.
I also think if you pay attention, like for us, we, again, like you said, we have a MySpace page. But if you actually look at the quality. Or the follow-on, the people who stop there then go somewhere else, we get consistently we get, I saw Scott on MySpace, or I saw his, I mean, on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Scott's super funny on Twitter, and does he really have a cough syrup addiction and stuff like that? We maybe once every 6 months have a, I was a huge fan on your MySpace page. Like, it just, it is dying on its own, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that there is not a lot of, there's no ease of use.
Yeah, so the technology sucks.
Yeah, the technology sucks, and it's difficult to do right, and knowing what is right is difficult.
And frankly, I have my page out there because it was one of the first things I put up when the book series first got published, and I have folks who know to find me out there, but it just grates on me every time I come from Facebook and go to MySpace.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's a lot of folks who say stuff like, I want to be able to change the color of Facebook and all that other stuff, and nope. The reality is like, no, you don't want another MySpace. You just don't.
I think that's all the time that we have today.
I think we are out.
All right, so raise your hand if you thought you learned something here today. All right?
All right.
Raise the hand if you're going to buy her book. Raise your hand if you're going to Google me. There you go. Thanks for coming.
Oh, and raise your hand if we should do this next year.
Hey, Tony, pleasure. Nice to meet you, Tony.